Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
What's the best real-life story you've witnessed of someone destroying their own happiness? Story 1. Young guy at work. He's in his early to mid-20s, married with two young kids and a third on the way. This new girl at work has been pursuing him hard. He was seriously tempted and conflicted. We all tried to talk him out of it. Did he really want to throw away his family life for this? Did he really think this new girl would stick around once all the drama started, when they got caught? He told us one day that he had finally told the new girl to leave him alone, that he was happy with his wife and she didn't stand a chance. 3 weeks later, he was sleeping in his car because he went for the new girl after all. Got caught, kicked out, served with divorce papers, and the new girl ditched him once he got depressed over it. Story 2. My ex-friend Tom, over 10 years ago when we were teenagers, once said to me, "I'm going to try meth tonight," while we were at a bar in Australia. I literally knew nothing about drugs at the time, especially meth. I just knew it wasn't good. He invited me to join him, but I said no because I had a gut feeling it wouldn't end well for me. Since that day, he has been in and out of prison, lost all of his friends, including me, and completely changed as a person. While walking with my wife and daughter a few months ago, I saw him walking his dog. He had obviously cleaned himself up, but it was like two strangers passing each other. I took one silver lining out of this. It made me learn a lot about drugs overall, and it showed me a different life I could have led if I had said yes all those years ago. Always say no to meth. It will ruin your life and take everything. Story 3. I know a guy who is now in his 50s or 60s who got bored with his wife and kids, cheated on her, and divorced her. His wife, who had always supported him because he couldn't hold a job, started a business and became a multimillionaire. She also got remarried to an amazing guy who is a major step up from the husband in every aspect. The guy then married a mail-order bride from Indonesia. As soon as the 3 years she had to stay with him to get permanent residency were over, she left him and married his richer cousin. I sometimes get invited to family events and see him there by himself, broke and with none of his kids or family members wanting to talk to him. Story 4. A good friend I worked with for years was married to a great guy, super nice, and everyone loved him, just a great person all around. They had a couple of middle school age kids too. I think she was going through a midlife crisis type of thing. But anyway, she reconnected with her old high school boyfriend on Facebook, and they started having an affair. She ended up telling her husband about it and left him for the other guy. Her husband was great about it. He wanted her to be happy, was great at co-parenting, and didn't want to make things harder for the kids. The old high school boyfriend was toxic as hell. I met him a few times, and he was an absolute jerk. They fought constantly. Every other week, they were breaking up, kicking each other out of her condo, or he'd just go missing for days at a time. She'd be a wreck, wondering where he was, which was usually a few hours away at the beach on a drug bender with his friends. He's in his late 40s, by the way. She said she got bored with life with her husband and wasn't attracted to him anymore. But I think she just went off the deep end and wanted something that wasn't there anymore. That feeling and excitement of young puppy love. But that's not what she got. I think some people just need drama in their lives. I felt like she threw away a happy life just because she missed the chaos. Story 5. My parents separated earlier this year. It was 100% my dad's fault due to being an abusive textbook narcissist. Mom put their house up for sale, and he had 2 months to sort out his move. He claimed to have nothing, no support, and nowhere to go. My husband and I took pity on him, and despite having a newborn and both of us working, we helped him pack, sold off extra furniture to get him some cash, and I found him a secure place to buy within his budget. He then said he didn't want to move into the type of place I found, an over 50 village, he's 73, because he wouldn't be able to take women back there to sleep with. He refused to leave the property and said the cops would have to shoot him to get him out. When I put pressure on him, because otherwise the sale would have fallen through and they would have been sued, he threatened sue us which he does every time something doesn't go his way, and repeatedly threatened to burn the house down, including in front of my 7-year-old. Eventually, he complied and we moved him into the granny flat of a woman he met playing pokies, slot machines for you U.S. types, who was apparently a millionaire from a famous family. I call nonsense. But he clearly thinks he's found someone new to leech off. They've been at the pokies every day for months now. His money won't last long at this rate. Then I found out that through all this, all the stress and nonsense he put me through when I should have been enjoying my newborn, he had actually received an offer from a longtime friend to move in with him and his wife. They even had a team of people ready to help with the move. Considering he ghosted them after they made that offer, they've since decided to cut off the friendship. He showed he didn't value them. Guess what? My husband and I are also done with him. I was the last kid who still spoke to him. So, he went from being married with a family to living in insecure housing, heading toward poverty and homelessness, having burned every bridge he had, all because he's too narcissistic to accept that he isn't perfect and that he's ultimately responsible for his own life. Story 6. I have a family member who inherited around $500,000 in cash and assets when his mother passed away. He had a decent job at the time. This inheritance led him to start taking longer vacations and eventually stop working consistently. He bought a sports car and paid off the 2 pre-built condos that his mother had made down payments on, but he sold one immediately at a loss and rented the other for a while. When the original tenants moved out, he let it sit vacant for over a year before selling it at another loss. He loaned money to his half-sister to pay for tuition in a field that would never allow her to repay him. He bought every new and interesting piece of electronics. The electronics eventually caught up with him. He went on holiday to the USA, and on his way back across the border, the guards wanted to search his laptop. This led to the discovery of illegal material. He was also allegedly attempting to manipulate his niece, the daughter of his half-sister. There wasn't much money left from the estate at that point. He was arrested and only managed to stay out of jail due to a technicality that a very expensive lawyer found. He paid around $50,000 for his defense. During the 2 or 3 years the criminal defense was ongoing, he didn't work at all. He simply left his job, even though his employer would have kept him on. He sold the sports car at a loss, sold the last remaining property, the condo, at a loss, and sold a bunch of expensive items, again at a loss. He ended up penniless, probably bankrupt, but not incarcerated. Now his life consists of renting a small bedroom and working as a local truck driver. He didn't just destroy his life, he completely obliterated it and left nothing behind. He's currently in his late 40s and will probably never be able to retire. Most of the family refuses to speak to him at all. Story 7. This one is rather simple compared to some of the others. But I have a friend, I guess. He's always complaining about not being able to make connections with new people, and that his 2 friends keep him at arm's length, that I'm the only person who regularly talks to him. I told him it's because he's passively mean to everyone and doesn't put any effort into his friendships. He responded with, "Their emotions are their responsibility, not mine." He can't make friends because he's unkind, and he can't keep them because he's too passive and expects others to do all the work. Plus, he's harsh. He says really hurtful things under the guise of brutal honesty. He absolutely refuses to accept this. I told him it's the reason I won't invite him deeper into my life and social circles. And that one seemed to strike a nerve, so maybe he'll start to reflect. To be fair, I do think he's a sociopath, so my efforts may be in vain. However, he's constantly miserable and feeling apathetic toward life, and he wants more friends. He's his own worst enemy. I'm giving it another month and then walking away if he remains stuck in his ways. Story 8. A friend from high school has a brother named Steve. I used to see him a lot when I would go and study at her house. He was always a little odd, but not in a bad way. He was just rigid, very regimented. He was studious and quiet. He's a few years younger, and I always used to tease him and call him a robot. I'd say, "Hello, Steve," in a robot voice when I saw him. He'd always shrug it off and chuckle. He did well in school and got a partial scholarship to a prestigious school in another state. I heard he had dropped out because of the stress and pressure of school and didn't hear much else about it for a while. After coming home from summer break before my senior year of college, my mom told me Steve had overdosed, but was saved by a passerby calling 911. I called my friend, and we spoke about what had happened, and she gave me the full story. It turns out he had gotten involved with a girl who worked at a diner where he worked late shifts. This girl's brother was involved in illegal activities and somehow, with his sister's help, convinced Steve to participate in distributing for him on campus. Long story short, Steve got caught and was expelled. The family tried putting him in rehab, but he'd be back out to buy substances again within weeks of getting out. The next time I saw Steve was about a year after his overdose. I was working at a bar to earn some extra money.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
And I saw a guy begging for change as I left at the end of the night. It was a familiar voice, and I instinctively turned in the direction of the voice and said, "Hello, Steve." The face under the shaggy mop of hair and the hoodie was wearing shot up, and his eyes widened like he'd been transported to a time before it all went bad. He was on the verge of tears and just said, "Sadie?" Not my real name, like a small child. I kneeled down and spoke to him, looking into his eyes the whole time. He looked broken, like he'd given up and was waiting to die. He also looked cold somehow. It was the middle of summer in the Northeast. I told him I was getting some food and he could join me if he wanted. He said that would be nice and that he hadn't eaten in days. We sat for around 4 hours, mostly in silence, but with bursts of conversation when he had the energy to speak, which usually coincided with the delivery of a fresh serve of fries. I let him talk and talk and talk. I asked some questions, but not much more than, "What made you decide to do that?" Or, "Do you think that was what you really wanted?" As I mentioned, Steve was always a very rigid and regimented person. He had just lost himself. That night, he broke out of whatever mental prison he'd been in for those last few years. He looked at me with pure innocence and said, "I'm not who I wanted to be, and I don't want to be this person anymore." And I absolutely believed him. I told him he had a long way to go and that he'd burned a lot of bridges, but that I believed in him. I didn't see Steve for another 6 months after that night, but when I did, he was working construction. He'd been given a chance by an older man who needed some younger bodies to help get the work done. We chatted for a bit, and he seemed to be clean and sober and doing well. He was back and living at home. I told him I'd see him again when I came home for the holidays. Christmas time, and I'm back home. I'm still taking some shifts at the bar, and a few days before Christmas, Steve walks in. He looks great. He's still clean and sober. He waves and sits down at a table in the corner, and I go to take his order and chat for a few minutes. This is when I realized even I had underestimated Steve. He didn't just get a job working construction for some old guy. Steve had planned out the most efficient way to get back everything he'd lost, except time. He figured out that the old guy was the only builder in a few counties who specialized in a certain type of building restoration work that was almost lost to modern practices, and he specifically targeted him for a job. He learned everything he could, and when the old guy retired, Steve bought the business from him. It was only a small operation with a few employees, and the guy's daughter was a nurse and had no interest in taking over the business. A few years have passed, and Steve is doing very well for himself. He's not a millionaire or anything, but he's still clean and sober. He's grown the business, trained workers, taken a step back from day-to-day operations, restored an old house that he now calls home with his girlfriend, and is beaming with happiness whenever I see him. I have no doubt in my mind that Steve will never touch anything harmful again in his life. Steve is rigid. Steve is regimented. I'm so proud of him. Story 9. An ex-friend of my wife's. She had a bit of a wild past, but had settled down with a good guy. He had a great job, had been investing in real estate since his early 20s. So by 40, she was 30, he was well on his way to retiring early. They had two kids together. She didn't want to work and never had, and he was fine with that. Life was great. Then after 10 years, she decided that instead of him retiring when their daughters finished high school and traveling the world, they should start spending more now. He wanted to stick to the plan, live modestly now, albeit in a beautiful house with a nice holiday every year, and then enjoy the rewards later while still being able to support the kids. She spent hours complaining to my wife about how boring this plan was, and couldn't understand why she couldn't just buy a Porsche right now and live for today rather than wait for some vague future fun. Her eventual solution was to live out her Sons of Anarchy fantasy and start seeing a member of a motorcycle gang she met at school drop-off. That lasted about a month before her husband found out. He kicked her out of the house. She tried to get the biker to threaten him, but instead the biker dropped her completely. Her husband filed for full custody with evidence she had been involved with a known criminal and someone suspected of illegal activity. The daughters were old enough to place 100% of the blame on her. Last I heard, she was being kicked out of her rental and facing homelessness because she has never held a job for more than a month in her life and always found someone to support her. But now, as a single mother approaching 40, that option is no longer available. She's my wife's ex-friend because our daughters are close with hers, and I always got along with her husband far better than I ever liked her. So, her husband won us in the divorce as well. Storytena. He was miserable at a data entry company in Texas. I encouraged him to apply for his dream job at a company that was out of state. I told him that if he got the position, he could figure out the move afterward, and he'd be making enough to bring his girlfriend and her two kids with him. I said that, of course, it would be a difficult transition, but he had to follow his dreams and passions. Well, they made him an offer above what he had asked for. I remember the day he got the news. He called me crying, and I cried too because I was so incredibly happy for him. He deserved it, and he's a good person. His girlfriend was absolutely not okay with it. She said she only supported him applying because she didn't expect him to actually receive an offer. She threatened to break up with him and even accused him of abandoning his children and forcing the children to grow up without a father. Even though they weren't his kids, they had only been dating for a year, and her children were 8 and 12 at the time. He finally gave in and turned down the offer. I was so disappointed, and honestly, I was upset with her. She called me sometime later and yelled at me for getting his hopes up, saying I supposedly knew there would be a problem with her. She also accused me of trying to get him to break up with her. After that, he and I started hanging out less and less until finally communication stopped altogether. About a year later, he sent me a message saying that he hated me for putting him in that dilemma. That honestly hurt the most. That was about 20 years ago. He's still at the same data entry company, and he just got his first promotion. He's now a senior software engineer after being stuck with the junior title for 20 long years. Anyway, the company he wanted to work for was Boston Dynamics. Story 11. My dad. My mom kicked him out about 15 years ago. When my grandmother passed, he used part of the inheritance to buy a very small house with his girlfriend in the next state over so he could take care of my grandfather. For a while, everything was going well. His girlfriend kept him in shape, he was taking care of my grandfather, and he was reconnecting with old friends in the area. But when my grandfather passed away, it all fell apart. He received the rest of his inheritance. I'm not sure how much, but my grandparents had lived through World War II and had done well for themselves. He broke up with his girlfriend for some reason, gained back all the weight he had lost, lost the house in the process, and blew through all the inheritance money on motorcycles and a sports car. He also lent money to people who never paid him back. Now he rents a room from my mom and works in a kitchen somewhere. He doesn't have any of the fancy vehicles he bought anymore either. Story 12. My friend's little brother grew up using harmful substances with their mom. Time after time, I'd see this kid distance himself from her and start doing great things. Unfortunately, it never lasted too long. I feel like once he really got to a comfortable spot, he'd fall back into old habits. He started doing reckless things to impress his group of friends. He got arrested and spent time in jail. None of those friends contacted him. None of them helped him. None of them cared at all. Once he got out, he was stable for a moment, doing well again, and he literally had a second chance at life. You already know, he went back to those same friends, started getting into wild situations again. Eventually, maybe a year and a half after getting out, he was charged with some serious offenses. He'll be doing hard time for a long while now. Such a shame. I liked him, and he was clearly a smart kid. You could tell when he was truly happy and when he was caught up in the wrong things. Story 13. My mom. She was tall and beautiful, smart as a tack, and had a lovely sense of humor. She was proposed to 6 times. She was in high demand. She got her degree in veterinary medicine and worked as a vet for 2 years. Then she met my dad, a cheating alcoholic cop who completely drained the life out of her. He cheated on her for the first 10 years of their marriage with a woman who had the same name. He controls everything she does. I mean, everything. She can't even spend 5 minutes in the bathroom without him screaming at her for being useless. She had such a bright future ahead of her, and she gave it all up so we could grow up with both parents. Granted, it would have been a much healthier household if they had separated, but her heart was in the right place. She recently went back to school and earned her master's degree in bioinformatics, but she's been out of work for over 20 years and has been struggling to find a job. She's truly the strongest woman I've ever met, and I hate my dad for taking her life away from her. Story 14. I've seen people who ended up living on the streets, but here's the important thing. In the country where I live, you get full coverage through social welfare. The state pays for your housing, monthly insurance for healthcare access, and also offers free detox, rehab, and therapy for addiction. There's also therapy for mental health and other problems. Still, the people who gather in certain areas of the public drug scene, they refuse any help. They've completely given up on themselves. Even when outreach workers come to assist, offering to handle the paperwork for welfare, housing, or even giving out warm clothes in winter, they refuse. Some won't even accept basic things like free dog food or veterinary care we provide for their pets. There's just no getting through to them. That's self-destruction you can't imagine unless you've seen it firsthand. Back when I was using, I met this one guy. He had abscesses on multiple parts of his body and looked like someone had just beaten him up. I told him to see a doctor immediately because those abscesses could lead to sepsis and kill him. His answer was, "I'm fine. Don't tell me what to do." Story 15. Time for me to shine and hopefully gain a small bit of catharsis. The person in question is my wife. We were happily married right up until 2 weeks ago. At least I thought so. She had been working harder than usual over the past few months, but that wasn't out of the ordinary for her. She seemed very happy and satisfied with our current situation. We had moved into our new home a year and a half ago. Things had gone really well, and we both loved our home and our two cats to bits. Unknown to me, she had been unfaithful for the past few months and had been planning to leave me as soon as her new partner got his own place. She drunkenly confessed to two friends whom she thought, for some reason, would encourage or side with her. They did not. They forced her to tell me, and she dropped that bomb on me 2 weeks ago. Since then, her friends have cut her out. She has an overwhelming desire to be liked. She's moved out to stay with her mom, who was also cheated on by her husband, my wife's father, and is unimaginably disappointed in her. She's lost the home she put so much effort and love into. Our cats will stay with me. All for what? Some guy who thought it was appropriate to take advantage of his position of power over her? He's a mentor at their company and brags like an 18-year-old about his life philosophies and drive. Story 16. A buddy of mine worked in national security. He had a clearance, top secret. He did something involving satellite imaging analysis. He also used cannabis. This is, for those who don't know, not allowed if you hold a security clearance, and he lied about it in his initial review. The guy then proceeds to grow a conscience and admitted during a subsequent review that he had used. Folks, don't use cannabis when you have a security clearance. I cannot stress that enough. But if you do, do not tell the interviewer that you've been lying to them. That is absolutely not something they want to hear, and it will mess your life up in a big way. He lost his clearance and was put on leave from work. He started drinking, I think from some combination of self-pity, boredom, and an addictive personality. He ended up getting blackout drunk on a daily basis, and one night he did something threatening toward his wife and infant son. I don't know what, he doesn't know what, but his wife was very shaken up. Nothing happened physically, but apparently it was the final straw. His wife had been dealing with this for months. She filed for divorce the next day. I don't blame her one bit. He lost a 10-year marriage with a woman he loved and still loves, two kids, his job, and his home. Story 17. My dad, every decision he has ever made. He decided a long time ago that he was poor and that poor people have hard lives. He will refuse any option that could make his life easier. Examples. He needs a double knee replacement, but won't do it. We're in the UK, so the only factor is time. Anytime he's ill, he'll push through and turn a cold into pneumonia, ending up in the hospital. He assumed he wouldn't qualify for full state pension. You can literally check this online. It takes 2 seconds. And he assumed he wouldn't get much private pension from the job he did for 15 years, 30-odd years ago. Because of these assumptions, he worked himself into the ground unnecessarily, robbing himself of any mobility he could have enjoyed in retirement. Funny thing is, he actually has more spare money now that he's retired than he did when working, and it makes him unbearably uncomfortable to realize he doesn't have to scrimp and save anymore. Every opportunity to improve his life is shot down in a hail of can't afford it. He would never check the actual cost of something. Just assume. In fact, there have been numerous occasions where he could afford it because he's nowhere near as poor as he makes out. My entire life has been spent avoiding, fighting, and repairing the damage from his poor decision-making. It made for a very frustrating childhood. Story 18. My sister-in-law was with one of my good friends. They owned a beautiful house, had two beautiful girls, and loved each other more than life itself. My friend is the type of guy you couldn't dislike. Hard-working, honest, a great dad. Her, on the other hand, she liked to stay home all day and watch replays of reality TV shows. She is a good mom, though. About 4 years ago, she decided that she needed to be an independent, strong woman and left him. She stayed in his parents' investment property for half the market rent for 2 months while they sorted out their affairs. She got her own place, found a new boyfriend 2 weeks later, moved in with him 4 weeks after that, and was pregnant 9 weeks in. The new guy is toxic, has a gambling problem, belittles her in front of her friends and family any chance he gets, and is extremely jealous. Long story short, I have never seen someone blow up their life as fast as that. She had it all and now has nothing. Story 19. My absolutely gorgeous former boss. Her husband cheated on her with a younger fire department recruit who was engaged. He's now moving in with the side piece. Two relationships were destroyed. He had the nerve to tell my boss he was leaving her by phone while she was out of state visiting family. The unanswered questions about the pets made her come home early. The divorce went through arbitration with both parties' consent. He now pays her $300 per month for the rest of his life, no kids. 3 months later, he was kicked out of the side piece's place, left on his own, and the side piece went back to her fiancé. The side piece ended up fired from two jobs during the year this whole mess unfolded. What none of us can understand is what the fiancé thinks his marriage is going to be like. My boss's ex-husband is a spineless coward who should leave town with his tail between his legs. But instead, he grew a mustache and walks around like everything is fine while disaster follows him everywhere he goes. Oh, and if you're reading this, get lost, Chris. Story 20. My paternal grandmother decided to live with her favorite daughter instead of asking her children to each chip in $400 per month so she could live with us. Backstory, Dad has three siblings, 4 kids total. My dad is her least favorite child, yet also the most caring and respectful of her. Her favorite daughter is the most selfish sibling. My grandmother receives low-income government assistance that provides $1,000 a month to anyone willing to do basic care work for her. Cook, bring her meals, light cleaning, doctor appointments, medication. She decided to give that $1,000 solely to her favorite daughter, while all the siblings still shared the caregiving duties. At one point, her landlord sold the home she was renting, and she needed to move. My grandpa had passed a few years earlier, so it was just her. My parents had recently built a legal ADU, accessory dwelling unit, in our large backyard. One bed, one bath, single story, about 400 square feet. The market rent was $1,600 per month. We're in Southern California in a really nice area. Rent is now $2,000 for that same unit. My grandma asked to move in, but said she could only pay $400 a month. That wasn't feasible, as my parents still had a mortgage and were depending on that rental for retirement income. My dad proposed that each sibling contribute $400 a month so she could stay there. Technically, my parents would collect $1,200 a month since Dad would be one of the contributors. She refused to ask the others for help. Instead, she decided to move in with her favorite daughter. She gave her daughter a 5-digit sum of money to convert the garage into a living space, done without permits. The garage lacks plumbing, insulation, smoke detectors, sewer, kitchen, HVAC, and a bathroom. There's also a huge step down, about 1.5 feet, to enter, which is dangerous for an 80-something-year-old with a walker. Here's the kicker. The main house is a 3-bedroom, 1-bath. Both adult kids have moved out. There are 2 empty bedrooms, but they refuse to let her move into the house. My grandma washes dishes outside with a garden hose, cooks on a gas grill, and uses newspapers in place of a bathroom. Yes, in 2023. Her daughter and son-in-law eat dinner inside, while my grandma eats alone in the garage. My dogs live better than my grandma, simply because she refused to ask her kids to chip in $400 each so she could live in our unit. Instead, she expected my parents, who are low-income and working blue-collar jobs with a $300,000 mortgage at age 55, to cover $1,200 a month. Her daughter, on the other hand, owns her house outright and has been a housewife her whole life. Story 21. A guy I knew from primary and high school completely ruined his life. He was always a troublemaker in school, breaking things, getting into fights, watching inappropriate content in the library, swearing at teachers. In high school, he got heavily into drugs and skipped nearly all his classes. About 5 years after graduation, he randomly contacted me, for reasons I still don't understand. We never liked each other. He told me he had turned his life around, quit drugs, and started a moving company with his best friend. Keep in mind, we were never close, and I didn't trust him, but I was genuinely glad to hear he was doing better. He asked for my Instagram and suggested we meet up, but I wasn't comfortable with that, so I declined. Good thing I never met up with him. 4 months later, he shot and killed a young mother, only 21 years old. He went on the run but was eventually caught and charged with first-degree murder. It was a horrifying story and deeply unsettling for me and everyone who knew him. He'll likely spend the rest of his life in prison. Story 22. My uncle struggled with alcohol addiction despite coming from a wealthy family. In school, he would ask his parents for money, claiming it was for expenses and use it to drink. His parents knew but ignored it and eventually sent him abroad for his studies. His drinking habits landed him in jail overseas. He was bailed out and brought back home, where his addiction worsened. When his parents began refusing to fund his drinking, he became violent, assaulting them, his wife, and even his 5-year-old child. Eventually, he forced them all out of the house. Even after the separation, he continued calling his parents and brother, emotionally manipulating them into sending him money, and they still did. He escaped rehab several times. In his final days, once one of the fittest in the family, he looked like a skeleton. The walls of his home were stained with his own blood. He would wipe it there when he bled from the mouth due to severe alcohol withdrawal. He sold his belongings for cheap alcohol, worsening his health further. He died alone one morning, in such a frail condition he couldn't even call for help, while his parents were just one floor below. The room was in chaos, the door nearly unlocked, indicating he had suffered greatly before his death. Story 23. My mother, she had children at a very young age and wasn't ready for us. She had to grow up quickly with no role models. As a result, once we all left the nest, she tried to revert back to being a teenager. Substance use had always been in the background, but while we were growing up, it stayed relatively hidden. Drinking, however, was always part of her life, and once we moved out, everything escalated. Over the years, I watched her spiral, losing all her possessions and friends, burning every bridge. It became nearly impossible for her to find employment in the area where we grew up. The fact that she had nothing but still managed to afford drugs led me to realize what she might have been doing to get them. I was scared for her safety and health. My mom has always had issues with authority, so accepting help from her kids came with the condition that there be zero rules or structure. Slowly, she alienated my brother and sister. I was the only one left still in contact. When we had our first child, I brought her to live with us. I thought maybe I could fix her, give her a home, a purpose, a family. It didn't work. Eventually, we helped her get her own place. She got a job, seemed to stay clean, though she still drank, and even got a dog that made her happy. I started to feel hopeful. I thought maybe she had finally hit rock bottom and was turning things around. But one day, she chose to go back to drugs. Within 2 weeks, she lost everything she had worked for. I had a family of my own to think about, and I realized I couldn't fix her. I couldn't sacrifice my family's happiness for hers anymore. We sent her back to her home state and kept her at arm's length, only allowing her to see pictures and videos of the grandchildren, but with minimal contact. She hasn't called us in over a year, and I have no idea where she is now. She destroyed her own happiness and took some of mine with it. Story 24. I knew a guy back in 2008 or so. We had been friends since third grade and were in our 20s at the time. He had a very attractive wife, cool kids who seemed like a lot of fun. They always had a great sense of humor. Any kid who makes me laugh is awesome in my book. He had a good IT job as a six-figure manager, just generally living the dream. Then he got hooked on playing World of Warcraft and started having online interactions with some elf from his guild. He became so addicted to the game and the fantasy world that it twisted his perception. He saw her as the Psy Elf healer and finally met up with her in real life, despite all of us telling him what a huge mistake he was making. He ended up leaving his family for her and eventually lost focus at work, leading to unemployment. The woman he left his wife for was nothing like the fantasy. She weighed around 280 pounds, was partially balding, and overall not remotely like the image he had in his head. He got out of shape himself, gained a lot of weight, and started losing his hair. They still live together to this day. He went from being an IT manager to a low-level desktop support contractor for a struggling consulting company. They live in a rundown town in Tennessee, in a trailer. No kids. She isn't able to have them. His ex-wife still looks very good, but I didn't know her well, so I rarely speak to her. She apparently moved on and remarried. He never paid child support and completely abandoned his kids. I honestly can't understand how he hasn't broken down. He had the kind of life most people dream of. His ex-wife, even after having three kids, looks like she's still in her late teens. Story 25. A housemate I lived with about 20 years ago had moved from another state and answered my ad for a spare room. When I asked why he moved, he said he had a wife and two kids back home and just decided one day that he was bored and left. Nothing dramatic had happened. He said his wife was lovely. He just wasn't ready to settle down. This was a 32-year-old man deciding that after already getting married and having two children. He even showed me a photo. She was beautiful, and he was definitely not a handsome guy. He had clearly been punching above his weight and threw it all away because he got bored. He then dove into dating apps and went on what can only be described as a spree. He also had a habit of filming his encounters. It was disturbing. When the lease ran out a few months later, I moved out on my own. He was way too much for me. I saw him about 5 years later at a club. He introduced me to his new partner, the woman he had settled down with. She was a wrinkled smoker with slurred speech and the clear signs of long-term alcohol use. She was easily 15 years older and could have passed for his mother. He looked completely defeated. I've never seen someone make such a disastrous life choice. He went from having it all to dating someone who looked like a worn-out shell of a person, all because he wanted to live out some fantasy of being a ladies' man. Story 26. I used to work at a daycare earning minimum wage and had a coworker who was in her mid-30s. She had three children ages 5 and up and was married to a man who was on disability for OCD because he refused to get treatment. She became pregnant and everyone was excited for her. Even though her husband did nothing to support her or their kids, she was even starving herself because they didn't have enough money to feed the entire family. We threw her a baby shower, the baby was born, she returned to work, and things seemed okay. Except she became pregnant again almost immediately because her husband refused to wait until she was on birth control again and wouldn't wear a condom. So she had another baby, and we all said, "Well, what's done is done. Let's support her as best we can." She often talked about wanting to divorce her husband. I left the daycare after finishing college, and later I heard through the grapevine that she had gotten fired. She had multiple temper outbursts and swore in front of kids and parents more than once. I also learned she was cheating on her husband and publicly insulting him on Facebook. She had a seizure disorder and tics, which can be a symptom of many things, but refused treatment for that too. It always made me sad. She was an excellent, hardworking person. And despite her temper, she yelled at her kids a lot, like really yelled. I knew she loved them deeply. She was stuck in a terrible situation, but too proud to accept advice or help. I really hope she's doing better now. Story 27. I watched a friend decide that cannabis was the most important thing in his life. It's not as dangerous as getting addicted to hard substances, but it can be sneaky because you start out just getting high all the time, laughing at everything and having a blast. And before you know it, you can't feel normal without it. I don't blame my friend for using it, because I do too, and I enjoy it. But he decided to drop out of college, quit working, and pretty much just use every day, all day. Now he's completely broke, but still regularly takes trips to nearby legal states and spends hundreds of dollars on gas and cannabis, even though he's constantly behind on rent. He still isn't working and is very selective about which jobs he applies for because he says he's too good to be a wage slave, which means his girlfriend's part-time retail job is their only income. He also complains anytime his parents suggest that he should get a job and cut back, saying they just don't get it. He always wants to vent about how miserable and stressful poverty is, but honestly, I'm running out of sympathy because it's really just the result of his own choices. Story 28. I suffer from severe depression and social anxiety. I've also had a very limited dating life. I was married to a beautiful woman, but the key word is was. Since the divorce, I've tried online dating, clubbing, which is terrible with social anxiety, and even asking friends if they knew anyone. I've lost count of how many times I've been ghosted in the past few years. Back in mid-July, a young woman confessed that she'd had a crush on me for quite a while. In fact, her crush started while I was still married. I've since moved halfway across the country, USA, but we reconnected on social media, and I'd been crushing on her for a couple of years too. We have our first date coming up next week. I'm driving up there to see her. Because of the distance, we've been communicating through texts and private messages. But over the past week or two, there's been a sharp drop in both the number and quality of our chats. Depression, plus a long history of being ghosted, made it hard to trust her when she said she's just overwhelmed with work. I started acting needy and messaged way more than I should have. Tonight, I nearly messed it up. My messages were being left on read, and I wasn't getting any replies. I took a big risk and opened up about how communication is really important to me in any relationship, and that I felt like I might be texting too much. I ended the message by asking if I was messing up, had already messed up, or was about to. No response. After several minutes, I copy-pasted just the last line. She finally replied. Turns out she's been working nonstop, trying to clear enough of her workload so she can see me next week. It scares me how easily I could have ruined a 20-year crush in under a month. But I take some comfort knowing I haven't ruined it yet. With just over a week to go, I'm laying low, maybe just one or two messages a day to say good morning and good night. No more asking for replies, no more panicking. Story 29. I went to visit my mom with my son. She lives hundreds of kilometers away. We visit her once a year. We went for a car ride and I pulled over at a coffee place. I suggested that the three of us, me, her grandson, and her, go in and enjoy a nice cup of coffee. She refused to leave the car because she felt she wasn't dressed appropriately. She said there might be former coworkers there. She retired 10 years ago, and the coffee shop was 50 kilometers from her home in the middle of nowhere. So I said, forget it. We drove back to her place and left the next morning. It could have been a nice moment, but no. Same thing happened the year before. It was her birthday, and I had reserved a table at a restaurant. We pulled up to the place, and she said that if it was easier, she could just wait in the car while the rest of us went in to eat on her own birthday. We did manage to convince her to come inside that time. It's like whenever something nice is about to happen, she slams the brakes and becomes distant and difficult. She's done this all her life, and now she's miserable. She actively sabotages her own happiness. I really think some people get a strange kind of satisfaction from their own misery. Story 30. There's one person who really sticks out in my memory. I went to high school with him. He was part of my friend group. He was quiet and not especially outgoing. After high school, he went to university for English but dropped out after a year. He moved back to our hometown, and a year later, his dad passed away. That loss broke him, and he began spiraling into drug and alcohol addiction. He hasn't been able to stay sober and struggles to keep a job because of it. He reached out to me and told me how unhappy he was in his long-term relationship because his partner wanted a polyamorous relationship, and he didn't. But he agreed to it because he loved her. The issue is that she won't let him date other people, but she expects him to be fine with her dating others. He's tried to end the relationship a few times, but each time she's threatened to harm herself. Every time he tells her he's uncomfortable with the situation, she uses the same threat. He said she has mental health struggles and uses this behavior when things don't go her way. I told him to consider calling a crisis line for her if she kept threatening that, because it's not his fault if she becomes a danger to herself. I also told him that no one, no matter their mental state, should manipulate someone like that. After that, he reached out a few more times to talk about it. I kept reminding him that he had a choice, that I knew leaving could be hard, but it was clear he was unhappy, and he deserved better. A few months later, he messaged me while he was under the influence, saying inappropriate things to me. I responded, "I hope you find peace with whatever is troubling you. This isn't you, and this isn't it." And then I blocked him. Story 31. There's someone I know. Not very well, but I do know them. They came out as trans, sure, non-binary. However, I know for a fact that they only did this to get attention. I want to clarify that I'm an ally of the community, and I know many people who identify somewhere on the LGBTQ+ spectrum. Almost all of their experiences are genuine. However, this person is someone I know grew up extremely spoiled and constantly catered to. They were probably the center of attention, both at home and in social settings. Now that they're an adult, I'm pretty sure they've lost that attention, and they didn't like it. So they decided to come out, even though there were never any prior signs or indications that they had ever questioned their gender identity. Again, I know many people who are trans and or non-binary, and that's genuinely who they are. But this person seems to be doing it purely for the attention. They constantly talk about how hard their life has been and how they might not have survived had they not come out. But I know for a fact their life wasn't difficult at all. It's only become difficult now because their parents kicked them out, and they're in online communities where they continually make everything about themselves. I know several people who are just over their attitude. They're losing friends left and right. I've made an effort to be respectful and use the pronouns they've requested, but I can't help but feel disheartened by how they've used the community to boost their visibility, when in reality, they've gained none. Story 32. I had an amazing business going. I spent several years building the project and eventually brought in new partners. Things were going incredibly well. During the COVID pandemic, I decided to quit drinking cold turkey. I was later prescribed Xanax for occasional anxiety, which then led to being prescribed SSRIs. That combination triggered a manic episode, and I lost literally everything. I went from running a multi-million-dollar business to being homeless within months. I started behaving erratically and made decisions that cost me my home, my puppies, my girlfriend, my clothes, everything I had saved and loved over a lifetime. I'm now wrapping up bankruptcy proceedings. I'm miserable and devastated while all my former friends are thriving. I still suffer from PTSD, being followed by private investigator type people. I believe I was targeted after upsetting certain business partners. People think it's paranoia, but it was nonstop. I truly believe it was coordinated. I feel like I was punished for not being my authentic self when I desperately needed help. Now I have no idea what to do or how I'll ever get my motivation or confidence back. Story 33. Me. I actively avoid girls who are interested in me. Basically, none of my friendships last longer than a year, and I'm even becoming distant from the couple of friends I still consider close. I burn bridges at every job I've ever had, and I have an extensive criminal record. So I'm very limited in the jobs I can get. I come from a wealthy family and had everything going for me, so I really have no excuses. I ruined my life with one bad decision after another. I let myself get taken advantage of so often when I was vulnerable that I've lost the ability to form a meaningful relationship with anyone. I was too desperate to fit in, too scared to set boundaries, and I let people walk all over me. Now I'm alone all day, every day. Most people don't like me because they can sense something is off. I feel like I have no place in this world. And I know it sounds like I'm drowning in self-pity, but really, I've just accepted my life for what it is. I single-handedly destroyed it, and there's no bouncing back. Story 34. My mom. We all had a house that was paid off by her grandmother. We went to a good school. My mom didn't have to work or worry about anything if she didn't want to. She had the car she always wanted. Everything was going well. One day she decided, let's move. Despite having a great life and everything going for everyone, she was inspired and motivated by the idea of living in her dream town, where we live now. This was in 2015. Fast forward to now, we're moving back. She now has terrible credit, high blood pressure, a drinking problem, and works 12-hour shifts, coming home angry most days. Her grandmother bought another house again, which we'll be moving into in under 3 months. But the damage is already done. During the time we lived in her dream town, she grew to hate it. She hated the stores. The people were terrible drivers, and one of them nearly killed my sister in a car crash a few years ago. She became so miserable that she developed serious health issues and started drinking heavily. She even stole a few $1,000s from my grandmother and left big messages when we moved, talking about how much she hated living in that house, where everyone else had been happy. I love my mom dearly, but this destroyed her life. She should be incredibly grateful to have her grandmother. But my great-grandmother isn't helping my mom. She's doing it for us kids. In her own words, the kids deserve better and the same chances. You wasted yours. I'm doing this for them, not for you. I'm eternally grateful for her and my whole family. We'd be homeless without my mom's grandmother. I could probably write one about my sisters too. They've also made destructive choices, but this will probably be good enough for now. Story 35. I met Daniel in college. We weren't best friends, but we were close enough to share secrets over drinks and vent about our lives when needed. He was the type of guy everyone liked. Charming, smart, funny, and deeply ambitious. His grades were solid, his girlfriend adored him, and he had been offered a position at a reputable firm right out of graduation. Everything seemed to line up perfectly for him. His girlfriend, Claire, was the type of person who made people feel safe just by being around. She didn't speak much, but when she did, it mattered. Daniel once told me she was his anchor. They had been together since high school, and even in college, they stayed solid. Everyone thought they'd end up married. She had supported him through every internship rejection, every exam breakdown, every anxiety-fueled panic about the future. But Daniel had one flaw. He hated being told what to do. It didn't matter if the advice was good or if the intention behind it was kind. He wanted to be the one calling the shots, always. As we got older, that trait started poisoning everything. Claire got into a graduate program in a city 2 hours away. She asked Daniel to consider relocating. His new job allowed flexibility. He could have worked remotely or even transferred to the nearby office, but he refused. He didn't like the idea of following someone else's path. He called it losing himself. Claire was heartbroken but didn't give up. She offered a long-distance arrangement for just 1 year until her program ended. He agreed, but only half-heartedly. That year was brutal for her. She made every effort. Visits every other weekend. Late-night calls, letters, care packages. Daniel, meanwhile, grew distant. He started hanging out with coworkers late into the night, conveniently forgetting to tell Claire. Eventually, he cheated on her. When she found out, she cried but didn't yell. She just said, "I thought you wanted happiness. I thought that was with me." Daniel told me, "I just needed space to find myself." I didn't respond. I knew then that Claire had been his happiness, and he had thrown it away for pride. But that was just the beginning. After Claire, things didn't magically improve. He started job hopping, chasing higher salaries and titles, but none of the roles brought him joy. He bought an expensive car and a fancy apartment, but always complained about money. He burned bridges with friends who disagreed with him or challenged him. He dated women he had nothing in common with, just for the status of being seen with someone beautiful. 5 years passed. One day I ran into Daniel at a grocery store. He looked tired. His eyes were hollow and the charm he once wore like a badge had worn thin. We caught up briefly. I told him I was engaged. He nodded, forced a smile, and said, "I heard Claire got married last year." There was a pause, then he added, "She looked happy in the pictures." There was no bitterness in his voice, just emptiness. That night, he sent me a long message. He told me he had been thinking about Claire a lot lately, how she once offered him peace, not control, how everything she'd asked for, moving closer, trying long distance, wasn't unreasonable. But he couldn't handle the thought of not being the one in power. And now he admitted he didn't know who he was anymore. He had spent so long resisting being told what to do that he forgot what he actually wanted. He ended the message with, "I think I broke something inside myself that I can't get back." Daniel still lives alone. He works for a mid-tier company now, after burning through every promising opportunity. He doesn't speak to many people anymore. Every now and then, I get a message from him, a link to a song they used to love, or a random thought at 2 a.m., I always reply. I know he needs to feel someone still sees him. But the truth is, Daniel destroyed his own happiness, not in one massive explosion, but in a series of small, pride-fueled choices. He had love, stability, purpose, and he gave it up because being told anything made him feel small. He couldn't see that choosing love and compromise isn't weakness, it's wisdom. Now he sits in silence, haunted not by tragedy, but by everything he walked away from, thinking there would always be more. Story 36. Sarah was the most beautiful girl I knew in college, and I'm not just talking about how she looked, though yes, she turned heads wherever she went, but her beauty came from something deeper. She laughed loudly, hugged people tightly, and made everyone feel like they were the most interesting person in the room. She was magnetic. Professors adored her. Classmates gravitated to her. I once told a friend, if anyone's going to have a perfect life, it'll be Sarah. But perfect was never enough for Sarah. She came from a loving family, the youngest of three, raised in a cozy home in a small town. She had dreams of becoming a journalist, and she had the passion and...
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Voice to make it happen. She landed a competitive internship at a local magazine and began building a portfolio by sophomore year. But as social media grew, something shifted in her. It started subtly, posing a bit longer for selfies, spending more time filtering photos, checking how many likes she got. Then it became obsession. I remember one day we went out for brunch. She spent 20 minutes trying to get the perfect picture of her meal, then another 10 adjusting angles for a casual smile. We barely spoke during the meal. That same night, she called me crying because the post only got 89 likes. I don't get it, she said, voice cracking. Do I not look good anymore? I tried to comfort her, but she brushed it off, said she was just tired. But it kept getting worse. She started skipping classes to take photos at trendy places. She stopped applying to journalism internships and instead spent her time trying to become an influencer. She said journalism was dead anyway, and this was her real shot. Soon, all her energy was going into building a following. She'd go on dates with guys just to get pictures at rooftop bars. She spent hours analyzing engagement, obsessing over algorithms, and the plastic surgery started. First, it was a small procedure, just a nose job, then lip fillers, then cheek fillers, teeth whitening, chin reshaping, a breast augmentation. Each time, she said it was the last, but it never was. I watched my friend disappear piece by piece until all that remained was a heavily edited version of someone who used to light up rooms with her smile, not her ring light. By graduation, she barely spoke to any of us. She had dropped journalism entirely and moved to LA to pursue content creation full-time. The last time I saw her in person, she didn't look like the girl I had shared dorm rooms and dreams with. She looked airbrushed, uncomfortable in her own skin, constantly scanning the room to see who might be watching. At first, things seemed to go okay for her. She gained followers, sponsors even. Brands sent her makeup and clothes. She posted glamorous shots in beach resorts and brunches with other influencers. She had the life she'd always claimed to want, but I saw through it. Behind the post were breakdowns. She started taking Xanax to sleep, then Adderall to keep up with content deadlines. She lost weight rapidly and not in a healthy way. She ghosted people constantly, missed family events, ignored calls. Her mom reached out to me once, worried. She doesn't talk to us anymore, she said. She only texts back if we comment on her photos. Then came the collapse. A scandal. She had posted sponsored content without disclosing it, and a rival influencer exposed her. She lost several brand deals. Her follower count dropped. The engagement tanked. She spiraled. Her Instagram went dark for a month. She posted a single story saying she needed a break for her mental health. I messaged her, just saying I was here if she needed anything. She responded with a heart emoji. That was the last I heard from her. A year later, I ran into someone who had worked with her on a campaign. They told me she'd moved back home. She was living with her parents, working part-time at a local clothing store. Her face was barely recognizable now from all the surgery. They said she barely left the house, couldn't stand to be seen. Sarah had everything. Not just the looks, not just the charm. She had a voice that made people stop and listen. She had curiosity and passion. But the mirror lied to her. The likes lied. The comments lied. And she believed every lie they told. In chasing validation through a screen, she burned the real life she had behind it. She wasn't destroyed by addiction or tragedy or even cruelty. She was destroyed by the hunger to be seen. She traded her happiness for approval, and now she's just a ghost of herself, haunted by filters that fade and numbers that never loved her.